This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Tracy and Terry Bennett. Petition 181-44901 for account 10997-6358. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board is property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett. Petition 181-45001 for account 161-236000. No one's in attendance for either party.
Since no one's present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January's. Jeez Louise, where am I getting January from? Sorry, September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, 181-45101 for account 156-996-004. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Questions?
No questions.
Close.
This is continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have another property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, 181-45201 for account 379-187-64. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have another property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, 181-45301 for account 25635400. There's no one in attendance for either party.
What did you say that number was? 256?
25635400.
On here it says 25, unless I'm off, 301, 253-654-000. Like something got transposed.
Yeah, it must have gotten transposed.
Okay, since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Another property in front of us from Terry and Tracy Bennett, petition 181-45401 for account 107-357-044. There's no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a
continuation
of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have another property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, petition 180-55501 for account 107-962-120. No one's in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have another property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett. Petition 180-55601 for account 966-200-24. No one's in attendance for either party.
Since no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, petition 180-55701 for account number 161-231-000. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No. Close it.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have another property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett, petition 180-55801 for account 379-11106. No one is in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 6th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is the last property owned by Terry and Tracy Bennett. Petition 180-55901 for account 220032194. There's no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is the January 6th. January. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Wow. September 6th.
You are in a time warp.
2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present this morning are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. First case before the board this morning is property owned by Scott and Essie Hancock. Petition 181-26201 for account number 213-799-000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Scott Hancock in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. I know you've been in here before, but I'm going to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. Okay. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like it.
Okay.
So, unless you have questions, go ahead and explain your appeal.
Okay, as you know, they have me down as prime developable land, and so that's how they look at it. In a previous hearing, you mentioned the fact that it's not really listed that way on my account, and that I could bring in comparables or whatever. But what I found was land. Actually, it wasn't a land and a house. But anyway. So the assessor does have a presumption of correctness, which is a very powerful tool, but at the same time a very fragile tool, because it can be overcome in three or four different ways. And the one way that I'm looking at right now is, I actually talked to the assessor in quite a bit of detail about my property. And there were some emails back and forth and different things, and they have, all, I'm sure, a record of all the emails also. But in the process of talking to them about how they arrived at my value, that's what I wanted to know. I just wanted to know how they arrived at it. I even told them, said I'd probably drop the case here if, I agreed with them after they explained it to me. But one of the things that I ran across when I was looking at what they were telling me was that the fact that the zoning is very different on pieces of land that they pointed me toward. And then I asked, I want to adjust my comparables for zoning. And I usually go for all of my adjustments so that I get them right and they're not really become an argument about how you adjusted it. I usually just ask the assessor how they adjust these for different things. And what I found out was they do not adjust prime land for zoning, which I know that would raise some eyebrows immediately, because in the appraisal textbooks and everything that you look at, that would be not only something to adjust for, it would be the prime thing to adjust for is the zoning. They would try to get that out of the way first. And I can just read to you from a email that I have. And the thing is, this person was real nice and everything. She was actually real informative and everything. But this is the pertinent part of the email. It reads, right now we don't adjust for differences in zoning. That was answering my question about how would I adjust for zoning. And I inherited management of prime land a few years ago and have been working on improving the process with each assessment year in addition to other assignments. Zoning differences is among several factors on my list for future study. That is valuing by acreage like we do now versus by potential number of lots. And so one of the ways that the assessor's initial value can be, the presumption of correctness can be overcome, is if you can show that they're using an invalid appraisal technique. And if you show that they're using an invalid, and this is all, I can actually get you the, you know, the docket numbers and everything that talks about all this stuff, but I think I have a couple of them here. But the So in other words, my question to the assessor always has been, how did they come up with that initial value when they initially decided to put us down as prime land? And I've never gotten an answer. I did get some comparables that some of them were not even in existence. The sales hadn't even taken place back when they put the initial. So in other words, they're not going. What I want them to do is go back and look in their notes and tell me exactly how they came up with that initial number. And I think, you know, I can only come to the conclusion that they were just throwing spitballs or something, because it just doesn't, nobody's ever told me how they came up with that initial number. And the fact that they're using comparables and not correcting for zoning, and every one of the comparables that I looked at were residential medium density, and mine is residential low density. And I did find one piece of land in the same neighborhood that sold within 9 months of the specific date we're working on here, the 1st of January of 2018. And the adjustment that I made on the time difference on that comparable is from the assessor. They made the exact same adjustment for time. And then I made an adjustment for acreage, which I actually was pretty generous, because being, you know, cheaper by the dozen, you know, in other words, I have a little more acreage than they have, but it, not much. It's real close. So I just made a straight across the board multiplication and division for the acreage. But here's some things that I have from other this is, and I'll just say this so that it'll be on the record if you needed to look it up later, but it's docket number 84567 and 84568. This is from the Board of Tax Appeals, but it reads that zoning may impact the highest and best use analysis, and it is often the most basic criterion in selecting comparables. And so in other words, if they're not correcting for zoning, I would say that that's an invalid appraisal technique, and it would be systemic. I mean, everybody that comes in here with a question about their prime land, they're not getting comparables that are being corrected for zoning. So where most of the stuff they showed me was residential medium density, which I think is 8 or so units per acre, the residential low density that I am and my comparable is residential low density. It's for 4 units per acre. And I came up with an indicated value, I think you might have seen it on there, of 400 and some.
Did they actually send you some information? You talk about things they showed you.
Yes, they did. They sent me an email. They sent me, because my question was, how did you arrive at this number? And then they, you know, if you go down there and talk to them, they'll tell you that they'll start into a litany of how the assessor's office works and everything. But, I mean, I just want to know how they came up with my number that day. And normally it would be in the notes, and they were never able or never did produce me any information about that. But what they sent me was a long list that I can get, or we can get it, anybody can get off the computer just by punching a couple.
Yeah.
I don't think they sent it to you. Maybe because most of the zoning was residential medium density that they compared me to. So, but anyway, no, they did not. It took a long time to get that out of them, but they finally did. I mean, this is like the third time I've been down here now in 3 years, and that's the question I keep asking, is how did you come up with that number to begin with? And then, see, they take that number, and even though the board here has reduced the value a couple times, they go back and their process is to add a percentage to that number. Now, I know that they can completely redo me. They can just come out there with 3 assessors and they can work for a week on my property alone, but they don't do that. They just add a mass appraisal technique number to the year before, but they use their year before figure, not the board's figure, which after, you know, 30 days, like you mentioned, after the hearing, or at 30 days after the letter comes out, if nobody appeals it, it becomes the true fair market value of your land for that year, because it can't be changed anymore. And when they apply a mass appraisal technique to the number, they need to use the right number. So once again, I think they're using an invalid appraisal technique there, in that they're going back and using their old number, which was a lot higher. Now, the last year I came in here, last year, you know, they didn't... in other words, I thought because it was a revaluation time for my neighborhood that it was going to be one of those, you know, three assessors are working on this, and they went over every detail. And they, so that's why I went down again and asked them, okay, so I want the information. Because if they can show me that, yeah, this is the way we did it, and it seems reasonable, we wouldn't be here, right? I wouldn't be here anyway. You guys are still with me for the next person. But anyway, so that's... that's where I'm at, and I did find the one comparable, and it is over 1108 Hillhurst Lane, and it's being built up all around it, so it's definitely, they're considering it probably prime land also, and they have it assessed at $500,000+, and I mean, I came up with $494 after doing the conversion and everything, and it's in the same. Okay. And it's in the same neighborhood, the same zoning, and very comparable acreage-wise. And so, once again, I guess I think I have other things here that I can read. And this, again, is just from... about how you need to, in other words, if the appellant can, you know, show that an invalid appraisal technique is being used, then they lose the presumption of correctness on all items. I mean, they could actually, you know, say that the sun's coming up in the east tomorrow, and they'd have to show you proof that the last few weeks it's come up in the east every day, because they're not presumed correct on anything. And then it shifts to, you know, as I know you guys know very well, but I just want to point out that it shifts to, you know, less than a, reasonable doubt, but a little more than a preponderance of the evidence. And I think here, since they haven't given us any evidence at all, really, that, and they're just resting on their presumption of correctness, that, you know, my evidence, you know, shows that the preponderance of the evidence would lean my way, because, like I say, I've been doing this on my property for a little while, and I didn't know this place was there, but I mean, it was, they actually pointed it out to me, but I went over and looked at it and everything, and it just, it looks very comparable to mine, and it sold about 9 months prior to the date in question, and it sold for $360,000, and it looked like a guy. I mean, I looked at other things too to make sure there were no other deeds or anything connected to it, or there was some kind of a sweetheart deal or something. It looked like a fair, I mean, the assessor shows it as a free fair market value transaction. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping maybe they'd come in today, because I have about 8 or 10 questions I would ask today, and we could all understand how they do this stuff. But I think one of the most important thing that I can point out is the fact that they told me they do not adjust right now. They're working on it. They're going to get that in the computer and get it working, but they don't adjust for zoning. And
let me just tell you, what we understand is, and this goes back about 3, maybe 4 years, and they went through, they were criticized for not valuing developable land, and developable land became a hot issue.
Okay.
And so basically they just took anything with over an acre of land.
Okay.
And they said it's prime developable, and they valued it accordingly. Well, we've come across several that are, you know, it's totally impractical to develop, can't be developed, or it's underwater, or something else.
Yeah.
So their method of madness was incorrect, number one, and then number two, we've run across others that have been zoned something else and they call it prime developable. I mean, they value it as prime developable, and it's not zoned that way. So you're not the only one that's got caught in those traps. The other thing I want to tell you is that their method of valuation is they establish the value. Once they establish the value, it goes in the model, or once they determine the parameters, it goes into a model, and that model is updated every year based on sales of other properties.
Okay.
And that model may say that land values in this area went up by 8%, say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So their model gets adjusted by 8%, and your criteria goes in there, and theoretically you would get adjusted by 8% also. Mm-hmm. It's not that they take the prior year number and adjust it by 8%. It's that your criteria goes in there, and if the criteria is consistent from year to year, it would go up the same as the model would go up.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So it's not a true thing. And then every 6 years, you're right, they're supposed to reevaluate property,
And that was last year for my neighborhood.
That consists of either a slow or fast drive-by.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I found. And as a matter of fact, after talking to them for a good 45 minutes down at the office there, speaking to the person on duty that day, he basically told me that they just used mass appraisal techniques that year, too, because I was asking how they actually do this, you know. And like you say, a fast drive-by, I think as long as a fast drive-by equals what they're doing on the mass appraisal stuff, they just do that because they're... And, you know, they do talk about how they're understaffed and, you know, they need to, and it's hard to do all this stuff and everything, but I don't know, that's just what they do. So, but anyway, I don't mind, I always pay my taxes on time and I don't mind paying what I owe, but I don't want to be, you know, in other words, I don't want them to just put a number down and not be able to tell me where they came up with that number, yeah.
Okay, I think we understand it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I got a quick question.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Put on yours, you've got $120,000 on a building, and there was a picture up here that has a garage or something on it.
You know, the thing is, that building right there is the only building on there. There's two, I built that myself, and the thing it was intended to be a garage with living space over top of it, and later we were going to build a house next to it. Well, you know, that when they started building up all around us, we gave up on that idea. So the thing is, that's the building right there, and it cost me about $94,000 in parts to build it. And, you know, they don't allow you to count your labor, which is kind of funny when the IRS does it anyway. But the thing is, that's I figured that the building's worth about $120,000 because we did this board right here put a 5% incurable obsolescence. When you see that door I'm coming out of right there, goes right upstairs, and all of the living space is up at the top of 17 stairs. So, you know, it would be kind of hard to sell it to, it's what I used to say this now, we're an older couple, but it'd be kind of hard to sell it to an older couple because they have to go up and down the stairs all the time to get to where they live. So, in other words, it had a 5% incurable obsolescence on it because of that. But that is the building that I wrote those numbers just down in haste when I was filling that form out that day. And later, after coming up with the comparable, I just figured the land, I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying the land is the only thing they're going to tear that down.
So right.
The other property you can
put that on there at all. So
I know.
The other property that you compared to has no buildings at all on it?
Nothing, no, not right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Thank you very much.
Close here.